You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today is Budget Day 2025, and Finance Minister Nicola Willis is calling it a no-BS budget that will create growth for New Zealand. I spoke to Susan St. John, Honorary Associate Professor at the University of Auckland Faculty of Business, about the potential social impact of the budget. I started by asking what she expects will be in the budget, particularly based on last year's.
Well, I'm not expecting anything particularly good. I'm expecting more cutbacks and more problems are going to arise in the community. Because of the nature of this budget, we haven't had any indications that there will be anything positive to affect the people who'd be most affected position.
Overall, are low-income families faring better, the same or worse under this government than previously?
Oh, I think it's quite ambiguously worse. You can only just look at how they've been treated with respect to things like benefits and working for families and repayment of student loans, access to accommodation supplement, access to hardship provision, the fact that the food banks have been overwhelmed with demand. I think it's fairly unambiguous that we're seeing quite a crisis within the lowest, worst off portion of the community.
What about government policies aimed at supporting low-income families, like Family Boost?
Well, it's been shown that Family Boost only helped in full a handful of people. It's quite difficult to access, and it's only for those working families who are paying quite high amounts of childcare. So it isn't aimed necessarily at the group I've just been talking about, the ones that have lost work, that have been on benefits for some time, that are in different regions with very high unemployment. Those kind of families have not been touched by family support, a family boost rather.
What do you think is driving these decisions from the government to move away from supporting struggling households?
There seems to be just a one-eyed concentration on achieving fiscal targets like net debt and surpluses and government spending and tax as a proportion of gross domestic product without putting the actual well-being of people at the heart of what they do. And unfortunately, I think we're going to pick up a huge social deficit and a lot of families who are already not struggling, who will just find that it's going to be even harder.
The government argues that they have to install these austerity measures because of the economy they inherited from the last government. Do you agree with that line of thinking, that these policies are necessary?
No. Of course, they've made it worse for themselves by the tax cuts and the subsidies to the landlords. So let's not forget that. But we must remember we've been through a major pandemic, plus all sorts of other natural disasters. And we've been in a very deep and unpleasant recession that's dragged on and on. And the problem with cutting when you're in such a recession is that you further intensify the depth of that recession. So in my view, we should be much more relaxed about those fiscal targets, realising that we are in a recession, and let the spending on things that support families help us get through that rather than cutting the very things that are going to help us recover.
And what would you like to see included in today's budget?
I really would like to see that they grapple with the part of the social security budget that affects families, such as working for families, and realises that having fixed thresholds from which families lose the access to this very important payment for their children is far too low. It's been frozen since 2018, and the clawback, once you get over $42,700, is 27% of every extra dollar that the household earns. So it's a draconian clawback. I'd really like them to address that.
I then spoke to Isaac Gunson from the Child Poverty Action Group about the particular impact of the budget on child poverty. I started by asking what he'd like to see in today's budget.
We'd like to see the government take a really aspirational approach to lifting people out of poverty. We want to see things like the Ka Ora Ka Ako school lunches program returned to full funding. We think that's only fear for students who have had to put up with endless issues with this program. And we want to see, we essentially want to see the government acknowledging that people lead really complex, difficult lives, and that helping people who are in poverty and who lead among the most difficult lives in our society, that those people are shown dignity and real respect in the government's financial decisions.
How does this compare to what you're expecting to see today?
Yeah, look, it's interesting, right? So the government has recently passed the Social Security Amendment Bill, which only really looks to up the sanctions on people who aren't meeting their obligations on their benefits. And I just think, you know, these are people going through some of the toughest circumstances that our society can conjure up for them. And what they don't need when they have one form of income left is for a government to be coming in and telling them, oh, well, you know, you're missing this meeting, you're missing that meeting. You know, these are people who might be missing meetings for childcare reasons. They can't afford childcare. They can't afford transport to these meetings. They may not have access to a phone or internet or a plan. There are so many different reasons that people could be missing meetings with MSD, and yet the number of people who are being sanctioned for missing their meetings in the March 2025 quarter was double the March 2024 quarter. It's unacceptable, and my concern is that that attitude that the government has clearly taken towards sanctioning people on benefits is an attitude that's going to be on display throughout the budget and the government's fiscal priorities.
Will any of the pre-budget announcements that we have already heard make a difference to low-income households, particularly child poverty?
The Social Investment Agency approach could work really well, but ultimately our concern is that even that may miss the forest for the trees. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's taking a very, very data-based, sort of granular approach to the social issues that people across Aotearoa face. And our concern is that when you dissect issues to such a granular level, that you're sort of going to miss the forest for the trees. You're going to be trying to solve one problem and missing other overarching problems which could equally be solved.
Does this mean that you think something like the Family Boost policy could make a tangible difference or not?
The Family Boost policy could make a tangible difference, but, you know, what we're hearing is that, you know, barely 250 families have accessed the maximum amount when the government promised us it would be around 21,000 who would be eligible. Now, Family Boost doesn't work for a number of reasons, but the biggest one really is that you can only claim the costs back after a certain period of time. So you need to have that money up front and then the government reimburses you. Now, that's not going to help someone in poverty, someone who doesn't have the money for childcare costs. So, you know, like it's that alone is a system that has the potential to help, but will only do so with a bit of reworking.
In general, do you think the government is heading in the right direction in terms of confronting child poverty?
No, the government is absolutely not going in the right direction when it comes to dealing with child poverty. We've seen for the third year in a row that child poverty numbers are on the increase through the government's annual data release. We're in a really tricky spot. More children every year are finding themselves in poverty. Now, children, they don't get a say in that. You know, they're busy being children. And what I want to see from the government, what we want to see from the government in this budget, is an aspirational approach that acknowledges how helpless children often are when it comes to their financial circumstances, and seeks to help those children, not penalise their parents.
The Child Poverty Action Group is hosting a post-budget event tomorrow. Is this purely for analysis or is this a call to action?
We will see what comes out of the budget at 2 o'clock. But yes, our event tomorrow is going to be featuring some economic analysis. But we're also going to be hearing from people who are on the ground at the coalface, you know, really working to research these systems that perpetuate poverty in our community, as well as rangatahi, you know, and all the analysis and all the community work in the world is amazing. But it's nothing if we're not hearing from the people that we're trying to help. And those are our young people, our tamariki, our rangatahi across Aotearoa. So I wouldn't describe it as a call to action just yet, but maybe I'll come back to you after 2 o'clock and let you know.
And what are the specific things you'll be looking for when the budget's released at 2 o'clock?
We'll be looking for funding decisions that make clear the government's aspirations to be lifting people out of poverty. Now, that could be the restored Kaora Ta'ako funding. That could be any number of policies that inherently recognise the dignity and respect that people deserve, whether they are experiencing poverty or not.
That was Susan St. John, Honorary Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, and Isaac Gunson from the Child Poverty Action Group, about the potential social impact of Budget 2025.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.